Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever, an iHeartRadio podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the most dramatic podcast ever. I'm Chris Harrison. I am so excited to be back with you each week. And the more I've gotten into doing this podcast, the more excited I get every week. And I miss not talking to you. So I look forward to our time together. And I want to say thank you to everybody that we have run into over the last 2 weeks. LZ and I have been traveling. We were at the much talked about now golf tournament in Orlando. I don't know if that tournament's ever had so much press because I think thanks in large part to Ben Higgins running into Chris Lane. Wells Adams was there. Ben's wife, Jessica, and of course, Sarah was there. LZ was there with me, and we had a phenomenal time. But the best part of it, for me anyway, was running into all of you. We ran into so many people walking around at events or at the golf course and came up and said hello, which we always love. But what I really enjoyed personally was how many of you said you're listening to the podcast. How many said it's touched you, you were emotional. I love it. I love all the notes. I appreciate it so much. And it was wonderful to see so many people. And then LZ and I went to New York, caught a little Broadway, which was spectacular, and met even more people. But I'm wondering if this happens to anybody else. You have these little moments in life that just kind of kick you in the ass and humble you a little bit and put you in your place in a good way. Lauren and I, after Sunday, were leaving Orlando and we were at the airport. I was trying to catch the Cowboys 49ers game, unfortunately, and Lauren was not watching the game, but we were talking and chatting and we'd been there for a little bit. And right as our food arrived, and this woman walks up. Now, there's no reason really for me to be cranky, but I was tired, sunburned, probably a little dehydrated, been a long week. And I'm just sitting there about to watch the Cowboy game. This woman who had been sitting next to me came up to me. And at very first, that moment, I was thinking about being a little cranky. And the first sentence she says to me is, "Chris, I didn't want to come up to you, but my mom listened to your podcast and she said you love when people come up and say hello." And it immediately just put me in my place, put me in a better mood. And we had an amazing conversation. I'm really glad she came up and I'm glad all of you came up to us this week. Lauren and I had a blast with everybody. Each week, LZ and I are going to talk about the headlines, the stories that make us talk, the things we're discussing in our own lives.
Well, the headlines about relationships especially. Yeah. And I love the name that you came up with.
The most dramatic headlines of the week with LZ.
Hi, everybody. Well, oh my gosh. The first one we wanted to talk about, Nikki Bella. I don't know if you all have seen this, but Nikki Bella, star of WWE, got married in August to Artem of Dancing with the Stars. I used to interview both of them a lot, and they're both so wonderful. But they get married, and now their wedding is airing in her special about her wedding on E! And it comes out that Nikki wore a couple wedding dresses, and that one of them was from when she was engaged to actor John Cena. So everybody is talking about this, because can you wear a wedding dress from another marriage or relationship when you're marrying someone else? And I completely think you can. I support Nikki on this, but I was surprised how fired up people were. And now it makes me want to ask you, what if I said to you, I'm going to dig out the old one. We're going to recycle, reuse, and I'm going to throw it back on.
I think I'm going to say, first of all, I'm in Nikki Bella's camp on this. And by the way, Artem didn't care. He also came out and was like, this isn't an issue. But I think the difference for us would be you actually wore your wedding dress at your wedding.
Excellent point.
As opposed to Nikki, who just had this dress that spoke to her that she loves so much, and she never got to wear it, and she wants to wear it for this special occasion. I don't know if I would have, if I would or will care that much if you actually wanted to wear your dress again, if you love it that much and it makes you feel beautiful. But I think if you've never worn it. So as far as Nikki goes, I don't understand why people are fired up either. This, look, you're going to save 10, 15, 20 grand, however much these things cost these days. Why not?
I think it's a really good headline because it says Nikki Bella wore her wedding dress from John Cena in her wedding to Artem. But yeah, when you dig a little deeper, so she had bought the dress. She'd never worn it, which is the key. Gosh, I don't even know where my first wedding dress is.
Don't most people they vacuum seal it, put it in a bag, and then you just never touch it again?
I'm not going to save it. When we get married, I mean, I love you, but I think I donate it. I think there's something beautiful. I mean, oh my gosh, sometimes you see women who are wearing their grandmother's wedding dress from the 50s and it's totally gorgeous, but I don't feel that attached to the stuff. To me, it's I would just get rid of it. I wouldn't want to deal with storing it.
Well, and I don't know what you're going to do. We actually haven't discussed this, but for example, at Wells and Sarah's wedding, she had, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 dresses. Nikki Bella talked about this was one of several dresses that Nikki wore as well. So is the dress even that big of a thing anymore? I know this is probably a celebrity deal where you wear multiple dresses.
Oh, interesting. As opposed to that one wedding dress.
Right. So really, a lot of brides don't have just one dress anyway anymore.
True. Well, the one you walk down the aisle in, that's the one,
the
right?
Okay.
But I think you made such a good point about, you just said she felt beautiful in. And I think that hits the nail on the head for me, because at first you look at it and think, well, this dress is attached to this past relationship. But the dress is really about the woman, I think. It's about you wanting to feel beautiful for the person that you love, but it's about you feeling beautiful. And so to me, that moment, people talk about the moment she said she had cried in this dress. That's when you look in the mirror and think, okay, I feel like a bride. I feel that this is the moment I want to have on my wedding day that I've thought about. So if she felt that in that moment about this dress, I hate to say it, but I think it's more about you than it is about the guy. Because again, it's about you being with the right person, but it's about how you've pictured looking for when you find that right person.
Can I tell everybody why this story was personal to us and why it kind of hit home?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So LZ, when we first moved in together, she brought an ice bucket, this beautiful crystal ice bucket, but it was monogrammed.
You actually were excited about it.
Yes, I was excited because it said L and C, LC. I thought, wow, this is great. Lauren and Chris. Well,
can I also say, I love that you thought it was great, because you could have thought that was so weird. Moving in, and I've already monogrammed something.
Yeah, that's true too.
You thought, this is so sweet.
But then it turns out Lauren's ex-husband, his first name began with the letter C as well. So just turns out, those initials worked perfectly for both of us.
And so
the ice bucket
was from my first marriage.
Yeah. The ice bucket was from her first marriage. It was a wedding gift to Lauren and her ex, but hey, it can quickly transition into Lauren and Chris. So she told me about this. I had no problem. It was a beautiful ice bucket. It has our initials on it. Great.
I believe in being environmentally friendly, and I did not see the point in throwing that ice bucket away. It speaks to your confidence in you, in our relationship. And I loved that it didn't bother Artem. Like you said, Artem said, I want you to be happy. Yeah. It shouldn't be a big deal if you're secure in your relationship and where you're at. I had a friend of mine who told me that when she moved in with her boyfriend, she made him get rid of all the clothing that he'd worn with his ex.
No.
He had to buy all new furniture.
Oh, gosh.
He had to redo their house. She said, I think things are memories and I am not moving into that environment.
Interesting.
And she and I talked about it for a while because it sounded really extreme to me.
I was going to say, it sounded expensive.
What would your reaction be if a woman had said that?
Honestly, a bit of a red flag for me.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to what you're talking about, the confidence. If I am with you and I love you, do I need a new flannel shirt to prove it? You know, I mean, look, I get if you're walking around and it's odd that you have so many pictures or keepsakes that remind you of that other person. There are levels to this, but I think to just, hey, I need you to get a new couch, new everything. We got to paint. That's extreme. That's a lot. To me, that's a lot.
Okay, well, now we have to confess one other thing about when we first started dating.
Oh, crap. What?
And I had forgotten until this very moment that when we first started dating, I had a house.
Yes.
And I had one of those. It was an older house. So it had like a front sitting room that I never went in. And you came to pick me up and I wasn't ready yet. Shocker. So I said, go chill. I'll be ready in a minute. And you went in that room and I come in to find you and you go, huh, you've still got your wedding photos framed in here.
All your wedding pictures were still up.
They were still up.
Yeah.
But speaks to your confidence. It wasn't a big deal.
No. I mean, I knew you'd been married. I mean, I mean, I am definitely not going to be throwing stones in this glass house.
No.
I mean, married for quite some time. I have children. So everybody brings baggage to a relationship. That's what makes us who we are. And it's what got us from here to there. And it's what I love about you because you've grown from that. I've grown from my relationships. So you can't have it both ways.
Well, and when my friend said, get rid of everything, I thought, now you're taking it to the point of you're potentially hurting the person you care about, right? If you're telling them, get rid of your past, erase your memories. I would never ask someone to erase their memories. For me, that's part of what made them the person they are. I don't think you can regret where you've been if you love where you are. You can't change your past if you like the person you are today. All those things got us here. So I would never say get rid of all this stuff, whatever. But I do understand that some things, you gotta talk about it, right? Are some things a little too painful? Is it, hey, I don't know if I want you to wear your wedding dress from the first person at this marriage now. Maybe everybody wouldn't have been okay with it. And I actually think if Artem had said, I don't want you to do this, right, I think Nikki would have said, okay, no big deal.
So let me ask you this, LZ. Is there a deal breaker? Is there one thing you should not carry over from a prior relationship? Can you think of anything?
My first answer is trust issues.
Right.
I love that that made you laugh. I'm being serious. Okay, I was talking to another friend the other day. She's going through a major marital issue. She has found out her husband is having an affair. And she said to me, whether they stay together or not, she said, how can I trust again? And the analogy that I gave her, God, I mean, that's tough, right? Because I've always heard that phrase, once the mirror's broken, you can put it back together, but you still see the cracks. But I think you have to trust again. You have to give, whether this person, whether her husband is deemed worthy of her trust again or not. First of all, to me, it's all about effort. Are you actively showing that you can change, that you're sorry, that you're going to be better? But I said, if you got in a car accident, would you ever drive again? Would you get behind the wheel?
Right.
And I think the answer is yes. And I especially think if we're just talking about going into a new relationship, you have to give that person your full trust until they give you a reason not to. You have to trust them and not carry over that past issue, because otherwise you're setting yourself up for failure.
I think it's a move on, but don't forget.
Mm.
you know, be vigilant, be smart. It's all about that communication. But I agree. It's, you know, it's the old theory. If you fall off a horse, get a bike because you're not good at riding a horse. No, that's not the saying.
We should do a new segment called Dad Jokes of the Week. The most dramatic dad
most dramatic
jokes.
Dad joke.
What would you not carry over from a previous relationship?
You know, it's something we just mentioned. Pictures would be weird to me. If you're like, I love this wedding picture, or I love right. this picture of me.
Well,
and my
we
ex.
Talked about women looking beautiful. Yes. I look amazing you, in yes. this wedding
it's
photo.
Like, look, if you want to cut out your ex-husband, that'd be fine. But I think it'd be weird if someone who you love and started dating seriously had pictures and things, mementos and things from their ex.
Mm. Well, I would, okay, I'll add a caveat. But if you have kids, I think, I remember we were in 2020 in the great lockdown. I was going nuts and I was cleaning out your entire house yes. because I had nothing else to do. And I love to organize. Oh my gosh, I love organizing. And I learned even more about you doing that. I learned that Chris Harrison, literally at face value, is an incredibly organized, neat, clean person. But if you open a cabinet door, things come falling out. I mean, I opened one cabinet in your house and you just had empty cardboard boxes in there. Like, what are we doing?
You never know when you need a box.
Well, that's true. You never know. You're not an adult until you've saved boxes and cords. But one, you know, you had photos from like your first marriage from that time. And we saved all that. I saved all that because I think the kids are going to want to see it. And that matters.
Right. I still have them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, as you just pointed out, had kids and watched these children grow up for 17 years before we got divorced. So yes, a lot of those memories and things happen together and I will keep those, like you said, to pass them on. But I definitely don't have them on display. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to walk around our house here in Austin.
Like I did.
And see, yeah. But even you had been freshly divorced. It's something that I think I would understand if you had a problem with that, where you're like, hey, can you
Right.
Not
pictures are
up.
Emotional.
Pictures are emotional.
And they bring up emotion right away.
And they bring up emotion for everybody else who walks in your house. Say we have a party and people are walking around. It's like, is that Chris with his ex-wife?
Right, of course. Like, and it's something weird. That's on display, like yeah. you said. And well, going back to my friend who told the guy she was moving in with to get rid of everything, something she said did stick with me and really made me even think about myself. I think I came home and probably just, you know, did that thing where I start a fight with you because I'm having a thought of an emotion and I'm not expressing it well. But she said, you know, things are memories. Items are memories. And I do think there's some truth to that. And actually, one thing you and I had talked about, which is an important sort of next part of a relationship, is building a home together, the importance of that. We love our house in Austin so much because we picked out everything together. We chose everything from the wallpaper to the chairs to all of it. And so this feels like our place. And there is an importance of stuff both in letting it go and getting those new, building that new world together, even if it's that physical item world. Should I throw away the ice bucket? I'll throw away the ice bucket. We still have it.
I thought it broke.
No.
Oh, it didn't. Okay, it's still here.
It's in our, right. honey, I've brought it out for parties.
We're not getting rid of that. It's a great ice bucket. Really thick crystal. Like someone spent a lot of money on it.
You know, let's move on. I think it's time for the next headline. Okay.
Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
For Dallas Cowboy fans, we wish we could erase the last several weeks. This is an interesting story, and it's not about sports, but it is about Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, who is hugely popular. He's popular for the franchise. He handles himself incredibly well as the captain of this ship. And is that leader in the locker room, leader in the press room, always does and says the right thing. Well, Dak arguably had one of the worst seasons of his career. Got bounced from the playoffs a couple of weeks ago, lost to the San Francisco 49ers. I'm from Dallas. My heart is in this. I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. A few days later, I see the headline, Dak breaks up with his girlfriend. And I'm thinking, God, what a crappy week this guy has had. He played terrible. His team lost. He's getting hammered. I mean, hammered in the press. Even a little bit of shade thrown by his own franchise for the first time. And then I see he breaks up with his girlfriend. Really a terrible week.
He's having a rough go.
He's having a rough go. But then the next day, this headline hits.
Well, all of a sudden, I am interested in sports. I actually turned to you and said, did you see this headline about Dak Prescott? I mean, I don't know any athletes, but I do love you and you're a Cowboys fan, so I did know who that was. One day after the news breaks that he and his longtime girlfriend of a couple years split, news comes out that he is dating someone new 24 hours later, and he is dating, at 29 years old, Dak Prescott is dating an LSU junior, a 20-year-old swimmer at LSU.
Yeah, Dak, 29 years old, just signed a $160 million contract, I believe, somewhere around those numbers, is now dating a 20-year-old junior in college.
Now, the reason you and I were talking about this so much is the age difference thing. Right. We get asked about this a lot. I mean, I'm not great at math. I think you're 17 years older than me.
Somewhere around there. 15, 16?
How old are you?
But yes, our age difference. And so immediately, our thought has always been, age is not a big deal. It's not a big difference. But is it hypocritical for me to say there is a point in time in life when it does matter?
You and I always talk about the difference of life places. And I also think the age difference thing is very person to person. Now, I don't know. Maybe this young woman is incredibly mature for her age. And by the way, maybe Dak Prescott is incredibly immature for his age.
But he's not. I've seen not. Him okay. In the public eye. He is a very mature man.
Oh, you are such a Cowboys fan.
I am. No, I've just seen, I mean, I've seen him talk and the way he handles himself, the way the team looks at him. He wasn't born yesterday.
Well, the reason this stuck out to us is because to me, and again, I don't know either of them, but I think it's potentially a big problem when you're talking about someone who's in their professional life dating someone who's still in their college life. Now, I did want to ask you, if she's an LSU swimmer, I don't know, are college sports on the same level of professional sports?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is totally different.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what struck.
And he's the quarterback for the biggest team.
He's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, yes. One of the most storied, richest franchises in the history of sports. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. And to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, it's like being, you know, shortstop for the Yankees. It's a big deal. You are front and center.
I don't know if that comparison helps me, but
I know. You're right. So what struck me and struck a chord with me, and again, I'm dealing with, is this hypocritical? I have a 19-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. This woman that Dak is dating is barely a year older than my daughter, who's also in college at TCU. And I immediately thought, what if Taylor was dating a 29-year-old man, especially such a prominent man? That made my heart skip a beat. I'm not going to lie. Now, I'm just going with my gut emotion of how I felt about this. And I'm not trying to throw judgment on this because I don't know these people that well. I'm not friends with Dak. I don't know this swimmer. But I just thought from my own perspective, that would scare the hell out of me as a dad if my daughter said, hey, daddy, I met this wonderful man. First of all, man, she's like, yeah, he's 29 years old. He's a stockbroker. He's a whatever. That would give me pause.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's such a life place difference. And I don't think I realized this when I was in my 20s or in college. But when you look back, I remember my mom telling me, there's so much change that happens in your 20s. I mean, you go through so many major life phases between being in college, then just graduating and adjusting, then your mid-20s when you're really hitting your stride in your career, then your late-20s when you're thinking, should I settle down now? You go through like four phases of life in those 10 years.
For sure.
And would you say, I mean, I think you're older than me. Would you say looking back that your 20s are a pivotal time of change versus your 30s, 40s, 50s? How would you compare them?
Well, and yes, those, you don't know what you don't know. Like for example, my son's 21, he's a junior. My daughter's 19, she's a freshman. You don't know what you don't know, but at the time you think you do, right? And this is where it gets interesting of protecting your children and thinking of this dynamic of 29 and this woman who was a teenager a year ago and they're dating is she may feel like she has control of the situation, may feel like she's fine, but does she know? You know, she just doesn't have that life experience. And to going back to your question, yes, in your teens, your late teens, into your early 20s, you are growing and learning so much. And you are just getting these life experiences. It's why we all date and break up and you have heartbreak and someone cheats on you. And it's where a lot of those silly antics happen, is in those early formative years. And to jump right into something that is so extreme on many levels, not just the age, but to somebody who is so famous and world renowned, it makes it even that much more interesting. And you bring up the dad thing and my child, Dak actually met this woman through the dad. The dad does something in insurance or something. He deals with the Dallas Cowboys and that's how they met.
Oh, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. There was like a post, an Instagram post from the dad a while back about, you know, kind of joking about he and Dak being best friends. And so that is clearly how Dak met his daughter and they have started dating. Now she's still in school. So this isn't a day-to-day thing. So who knows what it is, but I just found it very interesting. Obviously it hit a chord with me and I know most of you out there are parents as well and just thought we would have strong feelings about this.
Well, I look at our age difference is bigger, right? But you and I have talked about how if we'd met at a different time, maybe we wouldn't be together. Timing is important. If I was in my early 20s, I would have been in a totally different life place. And would it have worked out? I don't know. I mean, we started dating when I was in my early 30s, which is I'm well into my career. You know, we both were established in our careers and that was different. And I think that timing matters and life place matters way more than the number of age.
Life place matters.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, I mean, we lived in LA for decades. There are some very immature 50-year-olds in LA. There are some 50-somethings I wouldn't date in LA.
Well, and I find it interesting too. Upon my divorce, I started dating and I dated a wide range of ages from older than me to younger than me. And I found you get to a certain point. Again, this has to do with life, place, and experience. What do you share? What do you have in common? What conversations are you having on a very deep level? With you and I, we found that we had a lot of commonality. We hit a lot of those buttons together and checked off a lot of those boxes, which is partly why we fell in love, is we realized we were in the same life place and could go forward. But if you are dating someone that just got out of their teenage years, and is partying in college, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I have conversations with my daughter and her roommates and her sorority sisters. These aren't conversations I want to take much further than just finding out how they're doing and hearing the stories.
So here's the question. If Taylor came to you tomorrow and said,
God, I'm sweating now.
I am dating this guy. He's almost 30. He's a, we'll use your phrase. He's a stockbroker, something like that. What do you say to her? What do you say?
I would have to have a very long conversation and I would want to meet this man. Mm-hmm. A lot of it would have to do with who this man is. What are his intentions? And again, they're just dating and just starting. So I don't mean what are your intentions of marrying my daughter, but who are you? And what is it about my daughter you find interesting at the age of 20? You know, like what is she offering that you find so fascinating, and where is the depth and the meaning behind this relationship? So I would want to have that discussion with her. What does she see in him? What is she getting from this? And who is he and what's he all about? And that might be way overstepping my bounds. As I say that, I realize it is that early in a relationship, but it is to me a little extreme.
Well, we wish Dak all the best.
I do.
Well, and this young woman.
I wish the Dallas Cowboys the best.
Okay.
Deep down. And yeah, I mean, look, it's, the judgment part is difficult in all this, but you and I found it very interesting. And that was one of the most dramatic headlines of the week. The next dramatic headline brings me to our guest today. Bonnie Bartlett, 93-year-old actress, just released a memoir, Middle of the Rainbow, where she made it known that her marriage to Bill Daniels, famous actor in his own right, was an open marriage for many years. They have made it work. They've been married for 72 years. I have a lot of questions. We're going to get answers from Bonnie Bartlett when we come back. Simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected anywhere and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Navigate easily by powering apps like real-time GPS and voice assistant. Keep everyone entertained with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity roadblock your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Welcome back to the most dramatic podcast ever. I'm Chris Harrison. Time to bring on my guest today. Bonnie Bartlett, 93-year-old actor, just released a memoir, Middle of the Rainbow. You may know her from soaps, Little House on the Prairie, St. Elsewhere, most recently in Golden Girls, Better Call Sal. An amazing career. Emmy Award winner. Married to Bill Daniels, who you guys might remember as Mr. Feeney on Boy Meets World. That's right, Mr. Feeney, married to Bonnie Bartlett for 72 years. In her memoir, she goes into her amazing career in Hollywood. But one of the things I wanted to touch on, and one of the things that struck me, is her relationship, her marriage, and how in the early 50s, they were married in 1951, their marriage was open. What does that mean? How did they stop that, which they did? How did they claw it back? And how do they still have that trust? How do they keep going for this many decades? Bonnie, thank you so much for your time. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm in good shape.
Congratulations on the book, Middle of the Rainbow. And thank you for giving us such a intimate glimpse into your amazing life in Hollywood. This show in particular is about relationships and about love. And this look inside your marriage over the last 72 years is just fascinating. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad.
I mentioned earlier you're married to Bill Daniels.
That's right.
Mr. Feeney.
Please. How? John Adams.
Yeah. One of the great revelations from this book was that early on, you were 18 years old when you got married in, I believe, 1951, and you guys had an open relationship.
We didn't think of it as that.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
We never thought of it as that.
Paint me a picture of your relationship, and if you could define it to us, what was it?
Well, we kind of grew up together. We were very young. Bill and I were just great friends, great lovers, great. We just loved to be with each other all the time. And later on, when things got a little more difficult and we had to be apart a lot and stuff like that, and we were in a culture in New York, when we went to New York, in a culture that was very free and easy. It was before AIDS. AIDS changed that culture.
But you mentioned that. This is the 1950s, and granted, I was not around in the 1950s, but my image is that was a really buttoned up conservative time. We think of the 60s as being really free and into the 70s.
That's right. And that's why, because the 50s, you were still, the Victorian thing was still creeping in. We couldn't have sex unless we got married, you know? And then, yes, then the 60s rolled in and it was like wild and woolly, and you had to find your way through it. And if you did, you were good. And when we were together, we were fine. It's just when we had to be separated, there were times, yes, very much times when Bill was just too difficult for me.
Yeah.
And but he was so funny, you know, as I would say, you know, I just don't think I should be married to you. I just don't think so. Always, oh, come on. You're crazy about me. You've always been crazy about me.
So you wouldn't consider it an open marriage?
No.
But both of you had affairs early on? And did you know about each other's affairs?
Oh, yes. Mostly, yes, of course. I didn't have a lot of affairs. Bill had a lot, some dalliances on the road. I experienced something that today, women go through 3 and 4 times before they get married, you know?
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like y'all were very good friends. You still had some growing up to do, and it seems like you guys did that together.
Exactly. That's what we did together. And the book will talks about that. I mean, that's what the book, that's part of what the book is about. The book is really about the, I've had a 93 years on this earth. And the changes that have happened during that time, it's a history. It's a learning thing of this is the way it was then. And we took it. We didn't speak up. We couldn't.
Right.
If we did speak up, we got pushed down. So things, all the women have made it change. And all the old men can't do everything. Any man in power thought he could do anything. And they did. And we put up with it. Now, that's not so.
So how did you guys make it work? How did you and Bill, because I know there was one final affair that really drew.
That was later on. That was right. Very painful. That was very, yes. That was a big shock.
In the 70s.
And that's when Bill made the choice to let his career go. He knew he had to make a living, but I mean, he didn't, he had been offered 3 shows in New York after 1776, Chicago, Bob Fosse. And he said, no, I want to go to California and I'll work in film or whatever there is, but I want to have a house and I want to have the kids there. And I want to just do whatever. He didn't want to do television. He thought he would be doing enough film. Turned out that television was the best thing that ever happened to Bill. He loved it. Loved it.
I'm just curious how you found the trust again.
Well, it took time, but you know, he's a great father. He's very domestic. We had weekends where we could do things with the kids. Always in New York, every Christmas, everything. He had two shows. Other people were celebrating, and Bill always had two shows to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was okay. It's what he aimed for. But when the kids came along, it wasn't good. It wasn't good anymore.
When did you share this story with your kids or your friends? Did everybody find out when this book came out?
My children haven't read the book.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're not interested. We were their mother and father.
Right.
They were very glad to be with us. We were very, they saved our lives. They saved our marriage, the boys.
Yeah.
Because they were so great.
I was just curious if there was ever a time when you would sit them down and talk about, as they're adults.
No. I'm not a person who says, now let's talk about this.
Right.
I'm not. I'm just not that kind of person.
Yeah. You guys just kept plowing through and living your lives.
Right. Doing what is. And I, for me, California meant I got to work a lot. So I went back to work. I had stopped working with, when the boys were little, I stopped because it was too hard. But, you know, commercials, a few little things. But when we got to California and I had Bill doing all kinds of things with boys, and he could take them to school and he could pick them up and he could do all of that stuff. I mean, he was in heaven, and because he was so happy, I was happy and able to do the things I wanted to do.
You guys have been together 72 years.
Yeah.
A lifetime together. A lot of the listeners are married. We've been divorced. We've been through it all. And we talk a lot about relationships here. Is there a takeaway from your 72 years? Is there a lesson that we should know about making it work and sticking with it?
I think every case is different. Each case is different. If you're living with somebody who has a drug problem, if you're living with somebody who's an alcoholic and they don't change, if the person can change, if the problem is such that they can change, which is what Bill finally did, you know, if you fall in love with somebody else, that's a problem. Fortunately for us, we never got involved.
Right. You guys never fell in love with anybody else. There were those affairs, but you always came back to each other.
That's right. As I say, at one point I thought, oh God, I've got to have an easier life. It's got to be better than this angry guy. But there's nobody out there like Bill that I met, you know, that I would, we're lucky. We're just lucky that it worked out. I mean, we can't imagine not being together. Let me put that way. We can't imagine it. And now we're old. We take care of each other.
Right.
And it's great.
Yeah. It was just, you said building trust took time. I'm just curious if there was something in particular, because it sounds like y'all weren't great communicators, how you were able to build that trust back.
Well, we were together all the time.
Yeah.
We were in the same room, the same house. I think it's very hard to have a marriage where you're not together. What's the point?
Right. There were some amazing anecdotes in the memoir as well. You mentioned coming up around the same time that Marilyn Monroe did.
Well, Marilyn was a big star,
right,
and she came to study with Lee Strasberg. And I was Lee's secretary and friend and so forth. And so I kind of helped her out in class. And she was a lovely girl. We loved her. We all loved her. I saw her a lot at the Strasbergs. And I guess I saw the best part of Marilyn Monroe. I don't know. I mean, what she created was incredible. And she was an incredible comedian. She wanted to try to do theater. And Lee encouraged her. And maybe he shouldn't have. because
interesting.
She wanted to learn. She was such a student. She wanted to learn, and she was interested in everything, and she had a very good brain. No education, no background, no support, no support at all.
Interesting.
As a girl growing up. Terrible, terrible. So that's hard. You got to have some support somewhere.
The book is Middle of the Rainbow, Memoir by Bonnie Bartlett. If there is a takeaway from this book that you hope everyone will read, what is the takeaway? What is the lesson you hope we take away from this?
Well, as I say in the book, I hope that I have left some footprints in the sand so that it's kind of a history of a life. A successful life, a celebration in a way of a life and getting through. Life is all about solving problems. And that's what this book is about.
Beautiful. And after 72 years, gave us one bit of advice for marriage and making it work, what is it?
You have to create your own guidelines. You have to create.
I love that. And I completely agree. And speaking of unique, Bonnie, you are that. Absolutely unique. And thanks for sharing so much of your life with us in this book. Again, it's Middle of the Rainbow, the memoir by Bonnie Bartlett, her life, her times, her love and career. It is spectacular. And just thank you for being here today and opening up with us. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you to my guest, Bonnie Bartlett. Incredible story. Thinking of the times that she grew up in, cut her teeth in this business from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and on. Incredible knowledge. And it's always important, I think, to hear from the past so we can learn how to live in the present. So Bonnie Bartlett, thank you so much. LZ, thanks for being a part of this as well today. And thank you for listening. I can't wait to talk to you again next week because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the most dramatic pod ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.